Missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." What sacrifices are you and I willing to make for what we believe? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, calling us to put our plans in the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today on the subject of faith. This time, faith and feelings of worthlessness. How are you feeling today? Pamela Reeves, in her book, Faith Is, says, on page 11, "Faith is refusing the thinking that God loves and cherishes the popular, attractive, talented Christian more than he loves and cherishes plain me." I'll read it again. Faith is refusing the thinking that God loves and cherishes the popular, attractive, talented Christian more than he loves and cherishes plain me. How many of you are popular, attractive, and talented? Put up your hands. And how many of you are just a plain me? Well, God loves and cherishes every one of us. On the next page, page 12, she says, "Faith is remembering that I am God's priceless treasure when I feel utterly worthless." Faith is remembering that I am God's priceless treasure when I feel utterly worthless. A letter from a listener. She starts out with a quote from Andrew Murray. "I'm here by God's appointment, under his training, in his keeping, for his time." And she is quoting that, I guess, from having listened to me on the radio. I had used that quotation by Andrew Murray. "I'm here by God's appointment, under his training, in his keeping, and for his time. Let me not forget that all is sent by you. To be content with what God sends, I must be, because it is the Father's will. The secret of contentment." Those obviously are the notes that she must have made from my program on the secret of contentment. And she says, "Dear Elizabeth, you are right on target. I too need your prayers to be content in my situation." Now listen to this. "We do not have any heat in our home except one little heater. I am praying for a good heating system." That was A. Now this is B. "My husband has been collecting junk and trash from flea markets, and our house is filled with the stuff. I'm praying for the Lord to deliver him." C. "Our daughter is unmarried and pregnant. I'm praying for God's perfect will to be done in her life concerning the baby and her future." D. "I'm praying for my husband and daughter to have a loving and forgiving attitude with each other. Please pray for me, Elizabeth, and all these things. And be assured that I have prayed for you," the writer of this letter. "I've mentioned all of these specific things to God." But I thought, isn't it amazing that she would be quoting from my program on contentment? She who has obviously some very difficult things to cope with. No heat is a tough one for any of us to cope with in the wintertime. And if you happen to be married to a man who likes to collect junk, you know that that can be a serious problem, because you're trying to keep a neat and orderly house and stuff is just constantly pouring in and not pouring out as fast as it pours in. And there's another good rule that Donna Otto and I were talking about the other day. When you buy a new dress, another dress goes to the Salvation Army or to the thrift shop or to somebody that you know that needs it, that wears your size. And I'm so grateful that I have a couple of friends who wear my size, and every now and then they pass on their clothes to me. I wear a lot of hand-me-downs, and I'm very grateful for them. But to have an unmarried daughter who is pregnant, my heart goes out to this woman. And I can understand how you would feel as though God is not really paying attention to poor little me. God only loves the popular and the attractive and the talented. And he's not listening to my prayers. Then faith remembers that I am God's priceless treasure when I feel utterly worthless. Now, I don't know whether my correspondent is popular and attractive and talented, but I doubt that any of those things would be much comfort to her in the circumstances that she has described. She could feel very sorry for herself and resentful against God because he's put her in such a place. She could be resentful because he hasn't given her a quick answer to the prayers that she's been praying. And yet her letter shows a very different spirit, a spirit of faithful surrender and trust. The very fact that she liked Andrew Murray's words well enough to write them down and even to send them on to me so that I would be reminded of what I had said on that program indicates a spirit of faithful surrender and trust. And the psalmist in Psalm 18, verses 27 to 32, indicates something similar. Thou deliverest humble folk and bringest proud looks down to earth. Thou, Lord, dost make my lamp burn bright, and my God will lighten my darkness. With thy help I leap over a wall. By God's aid I spring over a bank. The way of God is perfect. The Lord's word has stood the test. He is the shield of all who take refuge in him. What God is there but the Lord? What rock but our God? The God who girds me with strength and makes my way blameless. And next to those words of verse 30, the way of God is perfect, the Lord's word has stood the test, I've written two dates, 10/3/83, which was when my husband and I were in the process of working out house plans, and 1 year later, October 20th, 1984, the house had been built and finished and furnished and painted and papered and carpeted. And I've written in the margin of my Bible, sitting in the chaise in a beautiful bedroom, thanks, Lord. And I guess since I pronounced it in the French way, I should spell it for you, C-H-A-I-S-E. That's the French word for chair, and it's pronounced chaise in French, not chase, as is sometimes pronounced here in this country. But there I was, comfortably sitting in the chaise in my bedroom, thanking the Lord that the way of God is perfect. The Lord's word has stood the test. That was just one instance, and there have been hundreds in my own life. God is still in control. It doesn't make any difference whether you're popular, attractive, and talented. It doesn't make any difference to God. He loves you. He cherishes you. He understands your difficulties of whatever sort, and he delivers humble folk. Even if you're rich, you can be humble. Even if you're beautiful and attractive, you can be humble. Remember that you don't have a thing that you haven't been given. If you think that you earned it, remember that God gave you the strength and the power and even the breath in your nostrils that enabled you to earn it. I so often am reminded when people compliment me in rather breathtakingly exaggerated ways, I am reminded again and again, I have nothing that I haven't received. It's because God loves me and he cherishes me that I receive what I receive and that you receive what you receive. God gives us each day our daily bread, exactly what's needed, exactly what is appropriate for the job that he wants us to do today. Faith is remembering that I am God's priceless treasure when I feel utterly worthless. Another great antidote for feeling worthless is reading the first chapter of Ephesians. If you just want to sit down and have a pity party for yourself, may I suggest that instead of having a pity party, open your Bible to the first chapter of Ephesians, and I've underlined these phrases in that first chapter. He chose us to be without blemish, to be full of love. And he destined us to be accepted as his sons through Jesus Christ. We are forgiven through the shedding of his blood. He brought us into a unity in Christ. His design whose purpose is everywhere at work. That's a phrase that I underline just to remind me that there's never a time when the design isn't being worked out. His purpose is everywhere at work. And it says that we have been given our share in the heritage, as was decreed in his design, whose purpose is everywhere at work. For it was his will, this is verse 12, that we who were the first to set our hope on Christ should cause his glory to be praised. Think about that one. You, even if you're flat on your back in the hospital, even if you're tied down in a wheelchair, even if you're paralyzed, you can cause his glory to be praised. I heard Johnny Erickson speak just a week or so ago in California. I was in her church, and she was telling me about a woman who is much more paralyzed than Johnny. She can't move anything but her eyes, and she can turn her head to one side, but she cannot move her arms at all. And she turns her head to one side as she lies there in the bed, where she can see, posted on the wall beside her, her prayer list. She is causing God's glory to be praised, even in the most radical limitations. Faith is remembering that you are God's priceless treasure when you feel utterly worthless. God bless you.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.